But it says, wealth from hard work grows. Now, I'll tell you why wealth from hard work grows. When you're working hard to make the money, when you do get the money, I don't care if you're working in business, working for another person, whatever you're doing, if you're spending a lot of hours and working hard, when you get the money, you go put it in the bank and then you go home and you're too tired to go spend it, so you just stay home and rest. And so it grows. Is that right, Keith? Oh, my goodness. I won't tell anybody what he just said. Keith, you better repent right now.
I think they need to repent.
Oh, my goodness gracious alive. Lord, forgive us all in here this afternoon. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, me. Now, don't y'all go out here spreading slander tonight. You know what God hates. I don't want to hear this story from somebody else that wasn't here tonight in a different way. And you ain't going to believe what Keith said in church tonight. And the time he gets back to me next Sunday, it'll be awful. Well, you know, so that's awful to begin with. Okay, that's why I told him he better repent, Deborah. Oh, goodness gracious. Keith, you're in trouble, boy. You're in trouble. Wealth from hard work grows. What? Oh. I didn't understand what you said. It took a minute for that to soak in. Well, now, I will have to say, if God sent the wife, she's a gift from God. Now, if you went out and found her on your own, sometimes they're not.
I know, been there.
You've been there, done that.
And then you got what you deserve.
Amen. Oh, be now careful, now careful, now careful, girls. But the whole thing about it is, every man and every woman should learn to pray. I mean, now some of y'all in here have been heartbroken through a marriage, and maybe more than once, you know, because it was not a God-ordained thing. You know, you did it on your own. You went out looking yourself. You didn't ask God. I mean, how many people do you know that have went out and found their mate, and before they did, they diligently sought God, and Lord, I ask you to send me the right mate, whether it be male or female. You know, when I think about this couple that I read about from I forget now where they live. But anyway, as she was growing up, her daddy taught her, this girl, her daddy taught her the principles of the kingdom real well. And so she said, Dad, I want to make a pact with you that I will never date a boy through high school or college or anything, and I'll just wait for God to bring me the right mate. I ain't never going to date. Well, she was a real pretty lady, but she wouldn't date. All through high school, several boys asked her for a date. No, I'm not going to date. I made God a promise. I will never date. I'm going to wait until He brings me my husband. And that I've asked Him the day I see this man for Him to tell me that's the one. So I'll know. Well, there was a young man just about her age, the same time, had been raised up in another great Christian home. And he had made a pact with his dad the same way. He would not date. All through school, he said, Dad, I'll never date. I'm going to wait for God to bring me my mate. I'm never going to date. I want the Lord to tell me that's the one. And so both this girl and this boy lived in different parts of the country. They went to school, high school, went to college, and then went to seminary. And both of them had a burning desire to be missionaries to Africa. And they graduated from the same seminary, but they never knew each other. And whenever they were after they graduated, the day of the graduation, she said, I walked around the corner, and when I did, there stood a man, and when I looked him right in the eye, the Lord says, that's him, your husband. And she said, I stopped, and I was startled, and said, he stopped, and he looked at me, and he was just as startled as I was, and what she didn't know, he had heard the Lord say, and that's her, she's your wife. Whoa. So he sits there a minute and looks at her, and she sits there and looks at him. And all of a sudden, he walks up to her and he says, ma'am, I don't want you to think I seem to be a little bold because I've never had a date in my life. I've never gone with a woman, not one time. But I'd like to take you to dinner this evening. Would you be interested in going? She said, I've never had a date in my life. But yes, I'm very interested in going. And 2 weeks later, this couple got married and went to the mission fields of Africa. And 30 years later, came back with a grown family with grandchildren. And had a blessed life. See? Now, if you wait on God to bring you your mate, you'll have far fewer problems than you will if, you know, I mean, what do us guys do? I mean, you know, I'll tell you what guys do. Guys say, ooh, look at that good-looking woman right there. You know, boy, I'd like to go with her. You don't know nothing about this girl. You don't know if she's a Christian. You don't know if she's ever been to church. But all of a sudden, you go by what you see. Ooh, look at this good looking. Ooh, most guys are looking at her from the eye. No, they ain't looking from here much. A little up here, but from here down to the floor. They're looking at everything they can, and everyone, oh yeah, she's pretty nice looking in the face too. You know? I mean, I'm serious. That's what guys are turned on by. You know, that's what they look at. And when they see this good looking girl, ooh, and then you never think about asking this question. Are you a Christian? Do you go to church? But you know, girls don't ever think about that either, do they? How many women do I deal with in the last few years as a pastor that their heart was broken? And I say, well, how about, were you a Christian when you got married? Oh, yeah, I was a Christian. I got married 20 years ago. Well, was your husband a Christian? No, he didn't go to church then, and he still don't. You think, what is it these girls don't understand about God's Word when He says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever? What do we not understand about that? Well, then when you tell them, they say, well, I didn't know it. And what really breaks my heart is when I come up to one as a Christian, and I've had this a few times now in the last couple of years, more than two or three times, especially when we're out of town. I want you to pray for my husband. Okay, what, is he a Christian? No, he's a Muslim. And she's a Christian. How many times have I seen that? You talk about being unequally yoked. You are unequally yoked in different complete ballparks. Yeah. I think it's a plan. I believe it's a plan by the devil. In fact, I read an article the other day that every time a Muslim, in fact, I forget where I read that. I read that in some article, but it said every time a Muslim could win a Christian to Muslim to become a Muslim, that guy, that the person that did it, was given 5,000 pounds of money. English pounds. That's about twice what it is in dollars. That was the reward for winning a Christian into the Muslim religion. Well, you know how, you know the only way a Christian can be won into a Muslim religion? If they ain't never met Jesus. If you've ever met the King and know who He is, you can't be swayed, can you, Harry? No. They can come in and tell me, are you anything they want to tell me? I don't care what they got. I don't want it. Do you? No. No. So see, that's the difference. People come to church, they think they get saved, they've never learned who Jesus really is, and yeah, they might have been to church, and then if somebody pulls them into some other religion, they never met my King. They don't have a clue who He is. If you ever meet the real Jesus face to face, there won't nobody ever be able to pull you away. And that's just like that DVD we passed out here for a while about three smooth stones. We made a whole bunch of those. Oh, we still got it back there? Okay. That's the story of three different Muslims that were Muslims that had such a tremendous encounter with Jesus Christ. I mean, encounters with the King. And some one or two of them even saw Him. You know, it's awesome. And today, you talk to them, are you still Muslims? No. Are you terrorists? No. I'm a Christian. They met the King, didn't they, Dave? They met the King. So, just like Dave, everywhere we go, he carries a business card with him. The testimonies of miracle healings. And he said, I'm one of them on this. And you know what? Some people he tries to give that to, they look at the title and say, I'm not interested, I don't want it. But some want it. He said, but my testimony's on there. I know these are real. In fact, he probably knows every one of those people by first name. You know, you've met them all, I know, because you went with us to GLC and everything. So he knows every one of those people that's on there, and he knows the stories are all true. That's why he can give them out. But isn't that amazing? Wow. Let me tell you about a miracle. And then some people in the church, in fact, I had a man tell me Sunday, he told about some miracles to a group of Catholics, and one of the high-up Catholics said, I guess we better pray for you. He told him about a couple of the mighty miracles that happened in this church that he knew about personally with people. And when he tried to tell it to this Catholic priest, which was a PhD from his seminary, he said he just kind of laughed and said, I guess we need to pray for you. You know what he meant by that? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. God don't do miracles no more. He don't do healings no more. That's a shame. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You want your heart to be sick? Hope deferred. Don't put it off. Don't defer it. But when dreams come true, there is life and joy. How are your dreams going to come true? How are you going to make dreams come true? You got to serve the living God. You got to put Him first. And when you put Him first, He will make your dreams come true. He really will. And I thought about the dream that God gave me the other day with that me standing in the water, you know, up to my neck and holding onto the cable and the black dog coming out there and jumping up and down on the cable until I finally walked up and put the cable down and where the black dog couldn't find it. And then the next thing I'm standing up on the levee and the water's gone and it's just all of a sudden there's a levee there and there's a truck pulls up and there's a gray horse sitting there and then there's a woman over here and there's and a window and she's fixing to put in a window and I think it was Cheryl, I don't know for sure, standing right here beside me. It's the only other woman I could imagine, although I couldn't really. She said, what do you come to do? And she said, I come to put in this window. It won't take but a few minutes. And then when we were up somewhere, one of the prophets told me that window is a sign that God is fixing to open the windows of heaven and pour out wonderful blessings upon your ministry. In other words, your anointing is going to increase. The miracles and the healings He's doing is going to increase. And I thought, wow, praise the King.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.